What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 262, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and helps the podcast just keep on going here. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Oh, not much. I told you I forgot about the podcast. I didn't really forget. I came down. I was like, all right, I'm ready to podcast. And then I got like distracted by Chrome tabs and looked at the clock and was like, oh, hey, Bob just tweeted about the podcast starting in 10 minutes. I guess I should get all my tabs ready. And
I remember the one week you came down like 30 seconds before we were about to start and Ryan didn't message me, didn't say anything. And I was like, I guess I'm doing this one by myself. It'd be a fun time. And then he popped in 30 seconds before. So,
yeah.
It is podcast week. We are doing a giveaway. I announced it on Twitter and everything. Live giveaway. We've never done one. So hopefully we do it correctly. we have a $25 gift card. It is the Amazon, but if you have a different place where you want the gift card, if you're the winner, you can just let me know and I'll buy you one from whatever store that you want. Sweet. But that is kind of what's going on here. But that will be coming. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, we are if you're new here, we're a weekly tech podcast. So we're talking about tech. And I kind of said this week is storage week because we have three storage reviews. But before we get into that, if you guys want to follow along on our show notes, we have a full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about tonight. It is linked in the description of the video. So if you're watching on Facebook or if you're watching on YouTube, it's linked in the description. I'm actually not even sharing my screen. I should do that so you guys can see what I'm talking about. I know I'm slacking.
There we go. This podcasting thing.
Yeah, but we have our full show notes page right here that will give you everything that we are going to be talking about. So storage week. I love storage. Ryan probably loves storage more than me. How many terabytes of storage do you have?
I don't know. It's not like that crazy. I don't know. Like 50 to 60 probably.
Yeah, he has like 50 to 60 terabytes. That's a lot of storage. Ryan loves storage.
I mean, it's more than like most average people, but like when you get into this tech hobby and everything, like that's not insane.
That's true. Yeah, that is very, very true. So for storage week, we have three storage related products, all completely different, pretty much, which is kind of cool. So to start things off, we have Crucial's X6 and X8, which I have here, and they're portable SSDs. I always talk about portable SSDs and how much I love them because, when you were able to travel, I traveled a lot and I would, do video editing on the road, and fast, high capacity portable SSDs made that possible. Also, they're great game drives. So I'm going to bring my screen up big so I can show you them, because I actually have both of them here. They're super tiny. I'm going to take my eyes out of the shot so you can see it. But this is the X6. So this is the smaller of the two drives. This is USB 3.2 Gen 1. Okay. So that's going to be around 540 megabytes a second read. The write speed is a little bit slower on this one, which we'll talk about in a second. And then the second one here is the X8. This is a little bit bigger. But this is USB 3.2 Gen 2. Both of these have you can see it, there's a little Type-C connector right there. But they're super portable. Like this and this, you can throw these in your pocket. That's how small they are. They're tiny. That's why I like them. Yeah, that's why I love these pebbles. This one kind of does. Yeah. They're just super, super tiny and super, super small. The differences between them, obviously the X8 is faster, the X6 is smaller. The X6, the overall design is plastic, whereas the X8 is metal. Those are the main differences. Obviously, speed is a difference as well. Getting into speeds, obviously USB 3.2 Gen 2 is going to be around the same for most drives that we see out there. With the X6, which is USB 3.2 Gen 1, the read speeds is pretty average. The write speed is a little bit slower. So we'll go ahead and go into that. So the X6 on average, The read speed, 559 megabytes a second, which is good for USB 3.2 Gen 1. But the write speeds, 339, is pretty slow. If we look at the actual write speeds, it's actually the slowest drive in terms of writes that we've seen out of all of the portable SSDs that I've reviewed. It's just, it just doesn't, you know, it's typically you want to see like 500 and 500, you know, or 550 and 500.
Sure, some a little closer know? To.
And if you look at like the, here's where like the USB 3.2 Gen 1 drives are, you can see most of them are pretty, they're right around like 479, 490, 495. So, you know, it's the write speed's a little bit slow. Now for the X8, our write speed is pretty much in line, 974 megabytes a second, which is pretty much in line with everything else. So I like the X8 obviously for speed, but I do love the size of this X6. Like it is super, super small.
What was the capacity on that one?
So what's interesting is just, I think either yesterday or today, Crucial announced just for the X6. So they did two things. One, they made a 512 gig version because it was only available in 1 and 2 terabytes.
Okay.
And they just released a 4 terabyte version.
Wow.
So a lot of capacity. Now the X8 is only 1 and 2 terabyte. The X6, you'll have 512, 1, 2, and 4 terabyte. For this. So a lot of capacity, write speeds a little bit slower than I would like, but it's still very fast, especially for a portable drive, which I like. Coming down to pricing, the ones we reviewed were both 2 terabyte versions. The X6 is $189 and the X8 is $259. That puts them in line with 2 terabyte versions in their respective categories. So really, really good as far as pricing. There's nothing out of the ordinary. These don't have any hardware encryption. They also don't come with any software. So keep that in mind. But two really awesome little drives. Can't complain. They're just awesome little drives. Like, it's hard to really say anything bad about these portable drives. Like they're just good. They're just
Do they have any weather resistance to them? Any IP ratings?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But the thing about these is unless you're like out in the rain, or you're doing some crazy stuff. The thing about SSDs, there's no moving parts. So I could probably throw this against the wall right now and it wouldn't break. The only thing you really have to worry about breaking is the USB connector. I'm not gonna do it live, but
I was just curious, you know, if they had any dust or water. But yeah, like you said, most of the time if they're not designed for that, they're not going to have it anyways. And yeah, you can throw it in a backpack, throw it in your pocket, and it's going to be fine without any sort of IP rating.
Yeah Cool. So that is the first drive. The second drive is a Gen 4 NVMe SSD. This is some serious speed. I love these drives too. I love super fast storage. As if you guys don't know, I moved all of my all my storage in my main PC is NVMe. I don't even mess with SATA anymore.
Don't even mess with it, huh?
I don't mess with the SATA at all anymore. So this drive is the Patriot Viper VP4100. This is their first Gen 4 drive. It features the Phison, I think it's the E16. Yeah, the E16, which is actually the world's first Gen 4 NVMe SSD controller. One thing I like about this drive, which we reviewed a couple Patriot M.2 drives. I'll bring it up. It's kind of hard to see. So here's the drive. It's very small. I don't think it's because I can still see. There it goes. Very, very small right there. But one thing I like about it is the actual heatsink is low profile. And it's not that wide. So I had some issues before where the heatsink on a couple of them where it's a little bit wide and certain heatsinks or parts of a motherboard would get in the way. That wouldn't, you know, you're not going to have that issue with this drive. In terms of speed, they rate it at 5,000 megabytes a second read in 4,400 megabytes a second write. Perform pretty much up to those speeds. You can see where it kind of lands in our tests. You can see our Gen 4 drives. very good performance. Not the highest. Obviously, the new Samsung 980 Pro is kind of where it's at.
Pop your screen up.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I might want to do that.
Let's see these graphs you're talking about here.
Yeah, here we go. So it's pretty high up on our graph. I mean, obviously faster than the Gen 3 drives, but not as fast as I said. This 980 Pro from Samsung is just a super, super fast drive. Yeah. But still very good performance overall. A great drive. I think it's priced very good as well. Let's see here. It is priced, the 1 terabyte version, which we reviewed, is priced at $209.99. The 1 terabyte of the 980 Pro is only $20 more. And it is faster.
It's quite a bit faster, but, yeah.
But we do have to mention that with that 980 Pro, you will need a heatsink. It does not come with one, and you will need one because it does throttle, which we talked about in our review. So keep that in mind. But I do like this drive. It's a nice little drive. The heatsink looks pretty cool as well. And it doesn't have any throttling issues or anything like that. And a lot of E16-powered drives do throttle. This one, because of the heatsink, does not. So keep that in mind. We gave it a 9 out of 10. So another really cool storage product. And now for our third storage product, which is a really cool product. I love this company. I'm not like crazy about like security, but if you are, you're definitely gonna love this company. iStorage reviewed a ton of their drives. They make super secure drives that you can't even like break them open. They have like a lot of them will have like a self-destruct, which will destroy the drive so nobody can get it. Right. Like we reviewed a bunch of these. We reviewed a bunch of their USB flash drives. And this one's a little interesting. This is their Data Assure BT, which is, if you look at it, it looks like a USB flash drive. But the cool thing about it is that it has a Bluetooth unit on it. So when you plug it in, it powers up that Bluetooth unit. And then you can only unlock the drive with a Bluetooth capable device, whether it's tablet, phone, any Bluetooth device, you have to install their app and that will unlock the drive. So if you would happen to drop this drive somewhere or you would lose it or it gets stolen, nobody can access your data.
That's kind of unique. That's a little different approach to, you know, accessing the data on there, as opposed to, you know, either like a physical pin that you have to type in or punch into the drive itself or some other add-in software. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, I like it. I think that iStorage, like I said, they've done a lot of really cool things when it comes to security. We've seen their flash drives that have like a password on it and all that. But with this, it's a little different, a little bit more future, I would say, because it's with your phone for the most part. You know what I mean? It's just like a good overall drive. Like I like it. I think that, if you're about security, I think it's a good thing to have, because I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've ever lost a drive, but I had a time where like, I thought I lost a drive and I was like, oh no.
Like, what was on there?
Yeah. Like all this stuff's on my flash drive. Right. And most people do carry a flash drive. Like one's always on their keys or, you know, whatever that has certain things on it. So you don't want to lose that drive or, you know, lose the data. So the 64-gigabyte version is $120.80. Again, these always are more expensive than like a typical flash drive because you do have the security features. And the security features on these drives are just awesome. They have all these, it's AES XDS 256-bit full hardware encryption on it. So yeah. And the app works for both iOS and Android. So you have that. I think there's a Windows Store app too, maybe. So if you had like a laptop with Bluetooth, you could access it that way as well. So go ahead and check that out. We gave that one a 9 out of 10 as well. So three really, really, really cool storage products. I would say I love the portable SSDs out of all three. I think that was my favorite of the week. So yeah, go ahead and check all of that out. That brings us to Case Mod Friday. And we have a really, like, I feel this guy's wife is pretty happy, really happy person, I would say. So this mod I found online in one of the groups that I'm in on Facebook. And it's from Nugent PC. And he gave this to his wife for their wedding anniversary. And this is
I hope she likes computers. Right? Yeah, into the hobby as much as he is, apparently.
Yeah, this is a really cool build. And this is a build in a case that is an awesome case that we don't hear enough about because Antec doesn't know how to do marketing. Let's put it out there. We've said that for years.
Let's see this.
Yeah, so there it is. So this is it's inside the Antec Striker. He did a really cool etching on the front of him and his wife, and that they have the date down there and all that. It's really, really cool.
But look at those cables.
Yeah, we'll go over this. Look at the Antec Striker. It's such a cool case.
It's neat.
We don't hear enough about it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. And one thing that's really I haven't seen is that the graphics card is right here. It's mounted on the front.
On the front.
You don't see all that much. Ryan was talking about the cables. So he made these individually.
They're clear. Cool. They're clear coating on them, right? It's copper and then just a clear, transparent shielding to them. That looks awesome. And it, same thing, I'm guessing for the 24 pin there, except silver.
Yeah, let me see if there's another picture of the 24 pin
wiring there.
Yeah, right here.
It's kind of a neat look.
Yeah, I love all the Bits Power cooling. The colors go well, obviously. Here's the front again. You can see what he did there. And I believe he painted it as well. I mean, these aren't the normal colors. The
gold,
yellow.
Yeah.
Or gold, yeah. So just a really, really, really good job there. You can see more of that 24 pin that you were talking about. Oh, he is using these new fans too. They're hard to see.
Are those the Inwin?
They're right there. You can kind of see them. I think, well.
Oh, no, they're Bits Power fans.
Are they? Okay. Because
Touch Aqua. Yeah.
Cooler Master is going to have the same ones that have. They look like the.
Yep.
The G-Skill Trident Z Royal. They're going to do that on fans now, which. It works in this build. I don't know if it's going to work in a whole lot of builds, but overall, I think this build's awesome.
Dual radiators on it? No, it's just No, it's neat. Again, I don't like how Bits Power puts their logo on everything. I mean, their logo would be fine if it wasn't a dragon. But
you don't like the logo.
I don't like dragons. I don't like MSI's logo.
Yeah, I was gonna say you don't like the MSI. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I guess Ryan doesn't like it. I would take this build for sure.
Sure, I'd take it. But
yeah, it's a nice little build. So go ahead and check it out. It is on our Case Mod Friday section of the site. If you want to go to, just go under articles and then boom, Case Mod Friday. And then we have a full site. Like you can see, we have ton. Like there's 42 pages of builds. So if you guys want some inspiration for a build or you just want to check out cool case mods, full section there, you guys can go ahead and scroll through all of that. And contests. So we are going to be doing our live contest giveaway here soon, but you can also get in on our moving giveaway. So as I talked about for the past, this will be week 5. I'm moving and I'm moving and I have a lot of stuff to give away. I have a lot of hardware that's kind of just sitting here that I don't want to have to take across the country. And each week I'm giving away a different piece of hardware. This past week, we didn't talk about it yet. This past week was, what was it? Oh, was it this? Was it the HP stuff?
It was the HP memory. Yep.
Yeah. So it was this, the HP memory. I don't have the headset. I should have got the headset. So this week we have the Cooler Master MH630 gaming headset. Really good gaming headset. These actually sound really, really good. So this is their stereo headset. Really good sound on this. Very comfortable as well. Just a good overall headset. We reviewed all three of the MH series headsets from Cooler Master, but just like all of our contests, you can enter this one right on the website. Just put in your info and you're entered. And yeah, it just only goes for a week. So definitely get your entry in. Only goes for a week. So get your entry in on that one. And now for our live contest, we'll give a couple minutes for people who might have walked away. We're going to be doing this live. So we're going to ask a trivia question and the first person to answer it wins. And then Ryan's going to try to get your info, I guess. That's how we're going to do it. Cause I don't know any other way to do the giveaway. So we'll wait just like another minute or so But this has to do with a recent or a couple of recent reviews. If you answer the question, you're the first person to answer it, you win. And it's a $25 gift card to either Amazon or whatever website you want. I guess if Ryan contacts you, if you're on YouTube or whatever, you can let him know where you want the gift card. But if Amazon's fine or whatever you guys want to do. So for the question, our trivia question, this is an easy one because it just takes us back to last week. But we reviewed two RTX 3060s, two of them. Now, you're going to have to put both answers on one line for it to be the winner. You have to do both on one line. Who are the two companies that we got the RTX, or who are the two companies that made the RTX 3060s that we reviewed?
Am I eligible to win?
No, you're not eligible to win. But yeah, answer that in the chat and you get a $25 gift card. And Ryan sees the chat faster than I do. So
we'll I'm watching.
Yeah, see. Oh, I see it. Derek got it.
Derek got it right away.
Do we have a way to contact Derek on YouTube or no?
I'll figure it out.
If not, well, Derek. Old man,
you are right. However, Derek beat you to it.
Derek beat you to it. It's okay. Well, we might be doing this every week. I'm kind of feeling generous to you, our weekly, our people who are always here on the podcast. So, Derek, if you're okay with it, can you put in your email address?
Or send an email address to
so we can set up what to get you your prize.
Just send it to that ryan@thinkcomputers.org.
Yeah, send Ryan an email with your info. And yeah. Oh, he put it in there. You just want to write that down for me, Ryan?
Got it.
Alrighty, so that was our giveaway. Yeah, we might do it every week. We'll see. I still have a lot of hardware too, but the problem is with the hardware is that I can only ship within the United States. So if somebody would win that is not in the United States, I'd feel bad. So that's is all of our reviews, all of our giveaway stuff. Let's move on to news this week. And there was another graphics card announcement. It seems like this month is just like release month. Like we had a mouse, there's two graphics cards, possibly CPUs. We got a pretty cool keyboard coming out, which I can't tell you about. There's some other stuff coming out this month. It's just like release after release. And we had the case from Fractal Design. I think because there was no CES, everybody just like, this is,
well, they're still going to keep releasing stuff.
Yeah. It's just like, this is release month, it seems like. So, the card was AMD card, which we did talk about. We did see leaks and everything, but AMD made it official today. It is their Radeon RX 6700 XT. This is basically going to be their 1440p gaming card. Going over the specs really quickly, it is based on the Navi 22 GPU. It's 7 nanometer. It's actually physically smaller than the Navi 21, and the Navi 21 is what powers the RX 68 and 6900 cards. It's going to have 40 RDNA2 compute units, giving you 2,560 stream processors. Base clock is 2,321 megahertz. Game clock is 2,424 megahertz. And then the boost clock is 2,581 megahertz. There's 160 TMUs, 64 ROPs, and 40 Ray accelerators, which is for real-time ray tracing. Right. There's 12 gigabytes of GDDR6 going across a 192-bit bus. So basically a 1440p card. A lot of information in there. We have it all in the article. We talked about this, but I like the reference design. It looks good. And I actually even like the R in the middle.
It's not bad. Yeah. I don't know what else they would have put there, right? So
yeah,
to fill up space. No, I think it looks good. It's good. I like the I think 12 gigs is probably a good spot for this price and performance segment. I think 8 would have been okay. I think 8 to 12 is fine. 16 would have felt like too much, I think. But I'm excited to see it.
It does feel weird because my 3080 only has 10.
Yeah. Yeah. the whole NVIDIA lineup is so weird. You look at them and they, at first glance, without really looking into the details and, you know, speeds and types of memory and everything, they make no sense. But
yeah. TDP is 230 watts. Power on the reference is an 8-pin and a 6-pin. Card will launch March 18th and will be priced at $479. It's going to compete with the 3060 Ti as well as the 3070. Here is, I always say this with like quotations because this is how this works. But here is AMD's performance against a 3060 Ti and a 3070 in a select titles. As you can see, it competes very well against the 3060. 3070 does beat it in certain titles. But yeah. I think it's going to be a good card. It's like I said, competition's good. And in this crazy market where you can't buy anything, it's good to have cards available, I would say. Good.
Oh, nothing. You see the ideal choice for 1440p gaming at max settings, but not super high. Like if you have a super high refresh rate monitor, right, you're not going to hit that 144 hertz in these titles. Maybe in League of Legends or some CSGO or whatever the case may be, but yeah, I mean, even on some of these, Watch Dogs Legion, right, you're barely breaking 60.
Yeah, 1440p. That's a pretty intensive game. But yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying on that one in particular. Yeah. But the highest we get to is 118 on Hitman 3. It's something to think about, because ideal choice for 1440p gaming, I feel like if you're at that resolution, you're wanting those higher frames or the higher refresh rate as well. But I guess a monitor that's a adaptable refresh rate, it doesn't matter as
much. And you have to think too, is like, okay, so say somebody's building a new PC or they're upgrading, like what's their monitor that they're running? I mean, sad to say, but a lot of people, like their 1440p monitor is 60 hertz, 75 hertz, you know?
Yeah.
And people who are wanting to do 140, 240, you know, they are like, they're playing CSGO. And obviously CSGO is not on this list. Or they're playing, you know, games that don't take a whole lot of horsepower. So Dead Pixel said, those bags under your eyes, Ryan, we got to get you some cucumbers.
Dude, I am tired tonight.
They look pretty. Wait, look at the camera. Yeah. I mean, mine are pretty bad too. I haven't been, let's see.
I wasn't.
Mine are always like that.
I wasn't up late. I was up until I went to bed early last night. I don't know. I'm just getting tired right now. I almost grabbed a little Starbucks drink for the podcast. I was like, I don't want it now. I want it later. I'm going to have it when we start gaming. Yeah, but I probably should have had it now.
I have,
so I'm not up super late tonight.
What's this stuff called?
I can't. G Fuel?
Yeah, my G Fuel in my About Time shaker. So I'm good to go. But yeah, it's like, you know, oh wait, did they? No. I don't think they, like, they didn't show any esports titles, you know. Yeah. But I think it's going to be a good card. I think that, one, I think they have a good reference design. And two, they did announce at launch that there will be custom cards. So when it launches, you'll be able to buy a reference, but every company will have cards. We are getting one. Which I'm pretty excited for. So it will be our first 6000 series card that we reviewed. So I'll be getting that in a couple days, hopefully. So we'll have that review for you. I believe our embargo is the 18th, same as launch day. So, or it's usually like the day after, something like that. So we'll have a review of this card. And we have, at least we have 3060s to test it against and 3070. So we'll be able to let you know, you know, what kind of
equal comparisons kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Derek said that you win as far as the eyes go. You're looking a little tired.
I know. Sorry.
Also talking about the 6700 XT, there were some that were leaked. They did show off some today, but Asus did have a couple that were leaked a few days before the announcement. Their 6700 XT dual 12 gig. It's kind of like their dual card, if you know their dual design. The tough gaming
one. It's just ugly to me. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, a little RGB right there. A little RGB guy. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I know. And then you have the tough gaming card as well, which was they did in AMD stream, they did show a bunch of custom cards, which means that it's a lot should be available at launch. So yeah, I'm excited for this. The more good graphics cards that we have available for people to buy is always good for us gamers, people who want to buy cards. And it's always good to be able to be like, oh yeah, you can get the NVIDIA one or the AMD one, you know? So, I'm excited to get the one that we're getting in and to review it. We talked about it last week. We talked about NVIDIA's cryptocurrency mining cards, their HX series. And we said last week, cause there was no information. We said that why are they making these crypto cards when there's a shortage of GPUs as it is? Why aren't they just building gaming cards? Right. We said that.
Right.
And it seems, at least for the lower end cards in this HX series, that they're going to be based on the Turing architecture or the previous gen architecture. That's what they're doing with all those old GPUs, apparently. Sure. This was found in the drivers, of the NVIDIA driver. It looks like the 30HX and 40HX and likely 50HX will be based on the old Turing architecture. So the 40HX will be based on a TU-106 and the 30HX will be based on a TU-116. It makes sense. I mean, it's a way to get rid of
old
GPUs. Old
chips that you got. Yeah.
It's.
Do you think the performance though is going to be good enough for them to sell?
They're going to tune or optimize the GPU for mining.
For it. Okay.
That's it. And they're going to have an optimized driver for mining. And they have already given the numbers, how many, whatever the hash rate that you're guaranteed to get. So they're going to tune it for that. And I assume when NVIDIA creates a driver, the driver is made for gaming, right? These drivers are going to be made for mining.
Sure. So I'm sure there's tweaks they can make to.
We've seen, when a game gets optimized, you're mm-hmm. 20 more FPS just by, doing that. So yeah. This makes sense. I just, again, as somebody who would say I'm investing in building a mining farm, I would want cards that I could sell later. And these just don't have that resale value as a normal graphics card would. That's all.
Yeah, I agree.
But the 90HX, which is the big boy, I think it has 330 hash rate or some crazy big hash rate, it's going to be based on the Ampere. So it's going to be based on the GA-102. This is the one that has 10 gigabytes of RAM and a 320 watt TDP. And this is what these cards would look like. We were wondering what they would look like. This is what one of them looks like. Basically the cheapest design you could find.
That's some pretty industrial looking those screws. I wonder if those are for looks or not. Those hex.
I don't think. I think they're just the cheapest. Just
for looks, because
Yeah. The cheapest thing that they could find. These will not have a video out at all either. So no video out on these. Just your just a simple cooling design. These are probably loud ass fans. Like, they're not with the newer GPUs, the fans are made to be relatively quiet, a mixture of quiet and good performance. Here, these things are probably just going to be super, like, it's going to sound like a jet engine. But again, it doesn't matter because they're, you know, that's what they're there to do. They're not,
you know, for being quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of what this mining card's going to look like. I honestly, like I said, it's good to have these come out for gamers because that hopefully will make available more gaming cards for other people. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, not like we're going to get one into review or anything, but it would just be interesting to see one, see what it sounds like. But I'm sure somebody will get one and give us a video on it. So yeah, that brings us to Rocket Lake S, which is coming out very soon. We have a bunch of Z590 motherboards here, which I took some pictures of today. I'm pretty excited for them. It's good. It's always good to see like the new series of motherboard, just like the little tweaks that certain companies make. They like, oh, they changed this up and it made it a little bit better, or new tech. We'll see Wi-Fi 6E on a lot of these boards, which I'm excited for. A lot of other cool new tech, a lot more USB ports you'll see on these, a lot of cool stuff. But we got official confirmation that Rocket Lake S processors will be officially launched on March 30th, or officially be available for sale on March 30th. Now, the interesting thing is that in Germany, they're already selling.
Legally?
Mine Factory. So Mine Factory, which is one of the biggest retailers in Germany, they've already been selling them. And Intel did not say whether they like broke the embargo. Because they didn't say that, it kind of makes me think that it was like a supply, like a misunderstanding through supply chain or something. But they've been selling them, like you can buy them. The problem is a lot of BIOSes haven't been released for these motherboards that support the new processors. Yeah. But this is what Intel said when they were talking to Hardware Lux. They said, "We take our embargo agreements seriously. We are aware of a retailer selling unreleased products and are following up as appropriate. We cannot comment on particular actions taken by retailers. We have ongoing discussions with partners, which are confidential as part of our policy. We take our embargo agreements seriously and are following up as appropriate." So it wasn't like, yeah, they broke it, we're going to stop them. So I don't know what the issue is. Mm. Talking about Rocket... Well, if you're in Germany, pick one up.
Yeah, grab one.
Yeah, grab one if you can. If you're not in Germany, this is what we can look forward to. So WCCF Tech got a spec sheet for all the Core i7s and Core i9s. A lot of them, some of them, which weren't even, we didn't even know about, or the specs weren't known. So these are all the 8-core parts. So all the Core i7s and Core i9s are 8-core parts. We have all the info on all of them. All their base clocks, all of their boosts, all of their turbo speeds, like everything is available that you guys can see. So if you're interested in a Rocket Lake S processor, at least through Core i7 through Core i9, this is everything. A lot of the stuff we didn't know, so it's all here now. So check it out. I mean, I'm sure you would get the 11900K or the KF, right? The KF doesn't have the...
What's it missing? Or what's its difference?
The KF...
It doesn't have the configurable TDP down. Everything else is the same.
Isn't the KF the one that doesn't have the integrated graphics?
Possibly.
Pretty sure. In any case, I'm pretty sure that's the difference. But yeah, all the info. So this is everything. It was kind of surprising that
5.3 gigahertz, man, that's pretty fast.
Yeah, nice little boost up there. So Excited to, obviously, when that time comes, to take a look at these and check out more Z590 motherboards. I will be doing some previews on Z590 motherboards, so definitely stay tuned for that. I'll be doing videos on those. I shot a bunch of B-roll today, so we will have those up as soon as I can get those out to you guys. Another interesting thing, and the timing of it is makes you wonder about overclocking on Rocket Lake S processors. So Intel had this performance tuning protection plan. Basically, what it did is that, say you're a noob like Ryan, and you went to overclock your Intel Core processor and you broke it, you could pay $20 or $30 and you get a replacement. And now, I mean, that's just a good thing, because when it comes to overclocking, if you don't know what you're doing, it can be very daunting, and you could seriously mess stuff up. You could throw too much voltage. You could obviously overheat. If you turn off, which you can do easily in the BIOS, is turn off the protections. You can turn off the motherboard protections. You can turn off the CPU thermal protections. Like, you can do all that stuff in the BIOS and then overclock and then blow up your system, basically. So that's what the whole performance tuning protection plan was about. Intel is canceling it or discontinuing it. What do you think? Do you think it's a weird timing that it's coming now, right before they launch these new crammed in? I'm going to say crammed in, because they're cramming as much stuff into the 14 nanometer as they can. I mean, this is as much as performances that you're going to get out. You know,
I don't really like, I'm not a big fan of like the OC warranty type stuff in the first place. I don't know. I probably doesn't get as abused as I would like think that it could be. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I kind of like Derek's comment. He says like the OC warranty needed to go, and the new CEO said, heck no, right? Too many amateurs doing it. I don't know, I feel weird about some of these like protection plans. Like, I'm a guy that never buys a protection plan at the register when they ask you if you want it. Knowing full well that, like, sure, I could probably be doing something in the future that would like make this protection be helpful to have. I don't know. I just, how often is it used? I don't know. I guess it'd be interesting to see the stats of usage of the program.
Yeah, it would be. I think Derek has a good point of like the new CEO. You know, secondly, I do think that with these processors, they are cramming as much as they can, as much, and they're trying to, by default, putting as much performance as they can get out of these chips, right? And you obviously allow overclocking, you could run into a lot of problems, even more than on previous processors, because they're already clocked quite high.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of. But the only chip that's still keeping it is the Xeon W3175X, which I think if you have that, you should know what you're doing, because I think just the boards are $1,000 for that chip. Yeah, so
if you're at that point, you're probably pretty advanced.
Old man did have a question in the chat. He said, do you guys know why Intel disables SATA ports when you use M.2? It's been that way for years. Even the 10900K does it.
When I asked a follow-up.
Well, it all depends on the board that you're using, as well as Ryan said. He said, are they NVMe or SATA-based M.2 drives? Because you only have so many downward lanes, so many downward PCI Express lanes for those M.2 slots. Because even on like a, say like a Intel, like a Z590, once you populate, I think only one, you can only populate
slots.
you can only populate the top M.2 slot. And then if you use the second one, most boards don't have a third one, but if you populate the second one, it will disable two SATA ports because you only have so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's bandwidth. It's resource management is what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah. And Shinny, who's in the house,
he doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't just ignore this comment. Just get rid of
this. This is true, though. There's only so many. There's only so many downward lanes. So, yeah, it all depends. Your motherboard will let you know. Some motherboards say it actually on the board. It'll be like little writing that says, if in use, disable SATA 1, 2, or something. If not, they will say it in the manual. At least it should. But yeah. AMD sometime can do it. I do believe AMD has more lanes, which they've had for a while, especially in high-end desktop, because Intel started taking out their lanes. Like as you went down in Intel's high-end desktop product stack, the number of lanes would decrease, which made no sense because they're there. They just disabled them on the processor, which was kind of BS. That's why a lot of people went for AMD when it comes to high-end desktop. But good question. If you guys have any other questions, throw them in the chat. We're obviously here. We're semi-experts. Ryan's probably more expert than I am. He does this for a living. I guess I do too, but
you do it. You do this type of IT for a living. I don't.
And our last story has to do with gaming. We haven't had there hasn't been a whole lot of gaming stuff going on.
There was one up here that you didn't put. I saw a trailer for Apex Legends on the Nintendo Switch. So,
oh really?
Maybe I don't have to play Fortnite with my son. We can play Apex.
Bring up the trailer on your computer.
I'll find it.
We're gonna have two gaming stories now. But the one gaming story, if you're a Need for Speed fan, it looks like the game has been delayed an entire year. But I would say the reason for it is good. Is because EA is going to be working on Battlefield 6 instead. I think the Battlefield franchise makes more money than the Need for Speed franchise.
Oh, I'm sure.
I would think. So they've basically delayed the upcoming Need for Speed game for an entire year. So if you're looking forward to that, that sucks. You have the trailer pulled up for Apex?
Yeah, I'm gonna have it muted, but
I was gonna say, so if you I would rather have Battlefield 6 come out. We don't know much about Battlefield 6.
Even know the last Battlefield game I've played, let alone paid attention to what's coming out. So
they're good. I do have to say they have done a really good job on the single player of Battlefield. I'd say if you do play through it, it is a lot of fun. I really liked BF1 and was it
I played a lot of Battlefield 2.
Yeah, like the one where they went back to war, which was they called it BF1, did they not? Again, forget what they called it.
I don't remember.
A couple years ago, but that one was really good. Shinny and Derek both said experts in quotations. Yep, we're the experts. I would rather have Battlefield over Need for Speed for sure. So let's bring up your Apex trailer for Nintendo Switch, which is kind of exciting considering we play Apex.
It is. It really is. Well, and like my son, you know, we play Fortnite together, duos, and like he's getting better. He was playing tonight, like before dinner or after dinner, I don't remember. And he's just sitting on the couch playing. He's playing solos. And he goes, Dad, I've got 7 kills right now, and there's like maybe 11 people left. And I was like, you have 7 kills? I was like, are you playing solos? And he's like, yeah, I'm up by myself. So I walked over there, and sure enough, 7 kills in. I'm like,
you better get him a trainer. You better get
I need to get him on a computer. I need to get him off of these using his dang thumbs. Yeah,
you gotta get him the G Fuel sponsorship. Let's go here.
But anyways, yeah, I saw that Apex is coming to the old Switch, so pretty excited for that. I don't know if I'm gonna let him play Apex. It's a little more violent feeling, right? There's blood.
How old is he?
7.
I don't think he could be doing worse things.
He could, but I do want this skin though.
That one.
So it's kind of cool. So yeah, I'm curious what they're going to do to it and how it looks and runs and everything. I'm sure it's going to be dumbed down and look a little less polished as it does on PC, but I'm excited to see it. I'll download it and put it on there for him. But
it would March be fun 9th. To play.
So when is that? Next week. Next Tuesday. Yeah.
So you can download it and show us on next week's podcast.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'd have to bring the
What do you mean? You can just show us.
Well, I was gonna say I could like pipe in.
Oh, you don't have to do that. You can just show us. Good.
Then I'll just show you.
That's pretty cool. It would be nice to have like a portable Apex.
Shinny says, at least it's not Doom. Yeah, I'm not gonna let my son play Doom.
That'd be nice to like. I mean, obviously, since it's like a multiplayer game, I don't know if you could play it on the plane, but like, you know, when you're like somewhere where you obviously can't have your PC or even a laptop, mm-hmm. like it'd be nice to just. Yeah. You know, play it like that. Wonder if they'll have like playing against bots or something like that.
I don't know, because I mean, I know that, I mean, there's a lot of bots in Fortnite still, you know, when we play duos and stuff, you can tell.
No, but what I mean is like, because everybody with the Switch doesn't have an internet connection, right? Like,
you don't always have to be connected.
Yeah. What I mean is like, it would be like, you could load up a map with like that. That's the only thing I could think of, but yeah, it looks cool. You'll have to tell us about it next week. I'm excited to see it. So, talking about what we have coming up next week, two really cool products. One I might actually test tonight because it just finished charging. Is a new mouse from Razer. It is their Razer Viper Ultimate. Comes with really cool charging dock as well. This is a wireless gaming mouse. 2.4 gigahertz, so it does come with a dongle that gives you that like sub 1 ms response time. So it's just like being plugged in. I was really, 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 really surprised. Actually, I have it. Hold on. So have it right here. It is super light. Like
light for being having a battery in it.
Oh, it's not as light. It's not as light as my Model O, but it's like it's very close. I don't know the actual weight on this thing, but it's really, really light. Look at the Cyberpunk one. I didn't see
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I have this one, but I don't think it. I always, one thing about Razer, I don't like their website. It's like there's just
74 grams.
74 grams. So
that is pretty light for a wireless mouse.
It's very, very light. And what's cool about it, it does come with this little charging dock. Cool thing about the dock. One, it has a USB port up here for your dongle. It charges, and it does have some RGB lighting. But the RGB lighting you can set it to do whatever you want. But by default, it corresponds to how charged the mouse is. So I can just like look over and be like, oh, it's yellow. It still needs some more time, which is nice. Cool. And it's a cool way to charge it. Like it just sits on there. There's two little, you can see them right there. See those?
Is it magnetic or anything? Is it kind of snap on there?
Yeah, I don't know if it's. I guess it's magnetic, but you can see those two little things right there. That's how it charges. So you don't have to like fondle around with like a USB cable or any of that. It just makes it super easy. So
or dongles, you don't want
to. Yeah,
fondle.
You don't want to be fondling anything. $150, but we'll see if it's worth it. I might turn it on here for when we play Apex. It does have some. They're these like really high performance mouse feet on the bottom too. So, like I said, excited to take a look at that. And then we have a really, it's an interesting looking CPU cooler. I haven't tested it yet. So we'll
talk about this like on. When they announced it, maybe.
Yeah,
I've looked at this. Okay.
Yeah. So this is from a new company called Iceberg Thermal. This is their Ice Sleet X7 dual fan, dual tower. This is like a big ass CPU cooler. And so
it looks enormous.
We're looking for cooling on the Noctua level, I would say, for how big it is. You have dual towers, I think like six heat pipes or more. Does it say? Yeah, seven heat pipes on this.
Holy cow.
A ton of heat pipes. Real, like, their whole thing is like this iceberg looking whatever. So we'll see. It's big, it's nice. Overall impressions are okay right now. I need to see performance when it comes to an air cooler. So yeah, I'm excited to take a look at that.
Installation looks like it might be.
Yeah, it's a big boy, so it'll be interesting to see. This it's Noctua,
like
it's $100. So that's like Noctua price. Although Noctua coolers are going for $140 to $240 now because of, like, I guess they're scalping Noctua coolers now. I saw that earlier today as well. So yeah, some cool stuff coming next week. Also, like I said, hopefully I'll get at least one preview for an X570 motherboard. We have some other cool stuff. We have one cool product that if you just use a laptop, it might be very useful to you. So we'll hopefully have that video of that coming up. We have a couple other videos. I'm trying to get all this stuff done before I move, so we'll have a lot of content coming out. And that is pretty much it as far as news and everything. Did you we always talk about if we've done anything tech related this week. Did you do anything tech related?
I installed Valheim, that Viking game that a lot of people are playing. It's kind of fun. Spent a couple hours the other night playing it. I haven't really touched it since. But it's fun. It reminds me of like Minecraft, but in a Viking world. Just similar vibes. So I don't know how much I'll actually end up playing it. Just because it's, I don't know. Yeah. It's fun. It's neat. And what else? Oh, I'm kind of getting into NFTs. Non-fungible token stuff like crypto art and crypto trading cards and fractional trading card stuff.
There's a couple. I saw somebody talking about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy
dibs is what it's, you can buy a portion of like a LeBron rookie card, right?
No,
it's sitting in a vault. Oh, go ahead.
But you can buy like a dunk, like, so he dunked You can buy that. Yep. I don't know how that works. I think I saw something on Barstool. They were talking about it, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Kind of crazy.
Is that like done through the NBA?
Not, I don't think it's necessarily done by the NBA at all. Like Tops and those, like the ones that I'm kind of looking into, that I didn't get in on the initial purchase, but like there's some Garbage Pail Kids that are done by Tops, and you can do stuff like that. I know they're going to be coming out with more of it. So that's like digital cards, right? Digital assets that you can own. But then there's, like I said, like a LeBron rookie or a Mickey Mantle card, right? And like, this is a physical asset. It sits in a vault, and then you can have partial ownership of that. So if that card like goes up in value, you're, portion of that goes up, and you can
so it sits in this vault, you own whatever percent of it, as and that is value, that percent is valued at cash money. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Now can you take your percentage out at any time? So you're basically, I saw something like this for something about some real estate thing was like the same kind of thing. Like you could buy into this real estate company. And then as they gain assets, it's not like buying into the company, but it was like, it was the same type of thing, but for real estate. Mm-hmm. I saw maybe it was a commercial on YouTube. I forget.
That's a good idea.
There's a lot of this stuff.
If you somehow purchased up 100% of those fractional pieces, right? Like you would physically then own the card, and they could ship it to you once, like you're the full owner of it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of possibility as well.
The reason I was talking about the NBA thing is if it was owned by the NBA, that's a great revenue stream, because obviously with a lot of sports, you don't have people coming to games, so all of these leagues are losing money. So I thought that was a good alternative revenue stream, and so they're not so dependent on these TV deals, which screw them completely. That's interesting. I did get my robot vacuum. I'm probably not going to plug it in because I just don't. I don't want
to make it learn one place when it's going to have to learn something else, right?
And like, you know, like I I'm going to take it out of the box.
Don't bring out that old dirt from the old place.
No, not that. It's just like, you know, when you open something, you destroy the box or just, I don't know. Besides that, that's pretty much, I haven't played anything. Yeah. Haven't done anything. Just a bunch of new products into review. I think that's it. I think we're going to get on some,
let me go get some caffeine before we hop on there.
We'll get the stream up and get it going here. Yep. So we're going to be over on Twitch. If you guys are new to the podcast, each week we switch over from here over to Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, and we play some video games. So pretty excited to be playing some Apex tonight. See if Ryan can pull himself together.
We got a win last week, and we all had very similar numbers.
Yeah, we did. It was actually really close.
Wasn't it like we all had 3 kills or 4 kills and very close?
I had 5 kills, but yeah.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Sorry. But we will be here next week, I believe. I don't think there's anything else going on, but we will be here next Wednesday. So definitely tune in. Thanks, everybody who is interacting in the chat. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate everybody who's here, like Derek, Shinny, Old Man. You guys are here every week. So we will see you guys.